Support comes from Bellingham's Whatcom Museum with its historic Hall of Birds on May 31st and June 1st, hosting bird taxidermist and museum preservationist Alice Markham for a weekend of events and workshops. Details and tickets at whatcommuseum.org.
Hey there, from the KUOW Newsroom, this is Seattle Now. I'm Ruby DeLuna with today's top stories. It's Thursday, April 11th. The Seattle City Council is drafting legislation to move all the city's police recruiting efforts into the police department itself. It's an attempt to ease acute staffing shortages at SPD by speeding up the testing and hiring process. At a committee meeting today, Council President Sarah Nelson accused the previous council majority of being reluctant to add positions at the police department. For that reason, Nelson says, the council added police recruiters to the city's Department of Human Resources. But, she says, HR didn't act on many of the council's recommendations around recruitment.
And that might have been an issue with bandwidth.
Or, she says, the Human Resources Department might have lacked expertise in hiring police. Later this month, Nelson will introduce legislation to provide wraparound support to police applicants. It may also expand or change the testing process to resemble the one used in neighboring cities. In other SPD news, more harassment complaints have surfaced against the Seattle Police Department. The new allegations involve Lieutenant John O'Neill, who heads the SPD Public Affairs Office. Investigative reporter Ashley Hiruko has the story.
The latest complaint was filed by Lieutenant Lauren Truscott, and she sent her complaint to the Equal Employment Opportunity Office with the city and the Office of Police Accountability. And in her complaint, she said that O'Neill approached her about one of his subordinates to gossip about her sex life, but also accused her of lying on her timesheets. Truscott, in hearing this, started doing some digging on her own, and she learned about complaints that had been filed against O'Neill and also complaints that he was filing in return.
Several other women have come forward in the last 3 years to accuse O'Neill of alleged workplace harassment. Truscott's complaints also name SPD Chief Adrian Diaz and suggests he has known about and enabled Lieutenant O'Neill's alleged behavior. You can find more of Ashley Hiruko's reporting on Seattle Police at KUOW.org. The Seattle Public Library announced today that more than 20 branches will see intermittent closures over the next couple of months. That's due to a staffing shortage. Laura Gentry is a library spokesperson. She says staffing is down around 10%.
The vast majority of those vacancies are in our public services division, where we're seeing, you know, the impacts. Those are the folks who, you know, open our doors, make sure our services are fully available to everyone and working with our patrons.
The Central Library downtown won't see any closures, nor will branches in Ballard, Delridge, Greenwood, and the University District. All other branches will see temporary schedule changes until June 4th. Check out the library's website for more information, as well as notices of any unplanned closures. Chipotle will have to pay close to $3 million for violating worker protection laws in Seattle. The city announced the settlement today in an investigation that dated back to 2017. Workers had complained the company had violated the city's secure scheduling ordinance. It requires large companies to pay workers a fee if their schedules are changed. Steve Marchese is the director of the Seattle Office of Labor Standards. He says this is the largest settlement of its kind for the city.
And we hope that this raises awareness to other operators of food service and retail in the city that it's important to make sure that your practices comport with what the regulations of the city are.
Marchese says the violations occurred at 8 Chipotle locations. His office also found Chipotle failed to provide paid sick and safe time at the correct rates. Nearly 2,000 workers will share the record settlement. In a statement, Chipotle said it's complying with the settlement by adding new timekeeping technologies to its stores. The attorney representing University of Washington running back Tylan Rogers says his client is innocent of rape charges filed against him this week. Attorney Robert Flanaugh told KUOW in a statement, Rogers, quote, plans to fight every inch of these false claims. Two women have accused Rogers of raping them between October and November of last year. Former UW head coach Kalen DeBoer also weighed in, saying he couldn't comment on the specific case, but he has always followed, quote, institutional procedures to ensure prompt reporting and proper handling of allegations. Rogers was arrested Friday and released on bail the next day. The Kelso, Washington gun store owner at the center of a case involving the state's ban on high-capacity magazines says he was able to sell hundreds of the devices while the law was briefly suspended. On Monday, a judge found the ban unconstitutional, but the state attorney general then immediately filed an emergency appeal with the state Supreme Court, and the ban remained in place. But the owner of Gator's Custom Guns in Kelso says he was able to sell hundreds of high-capacity magazines during that small window of time. The AG's office sued the gun store owner last fall after he offered to sell thousands of the magazines to customers and undercover investigators after the law went into effect in 2022. A paraeducator strike in Port Angeles has delayed over 3,500 students' return from spring break this week. As Sammy West reports, the strike is a sign of budget challenges across the state.
Rebecca Winters has been a paraeducator in Port Angeles for 20 years and is president of their union. She loves her job supporting students with disabilities in the classroom, but it's not always easy.
A big part of our day is taking on a lot of aggression, a lot of sadness, a lot of anger from students and finding creative ways to get them re-engaged.
The average pay for paraeducators in Washington is $22 per hour. Winters says many struggle to make ends meet. That's why they're asking for a 3.7% cost of living raise. District officials say their current proposal includes some salary increases, and more raises could mean cuts to sports, music, and staffing. A coalition of paraeducator unions pushed the legislature for a statewide raise this year, but only got a sliver of what they asked for. Sammy West, KUOW News.
Next time on Seattle Now, it's Casual Friday. Our panel talks about a new bipartisan proposal for a national data privacy law.
I would love our consciousness around privacy to maybe go the way of smoking or even seatbelts. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Our default approach to it is like, yeah, put on your seatbelt, smoking is bad, data privacy is important.
That's Friday morning on the podcast with host Paige Browning. And that's a wrap from the KUOW Newsroom in Seattle. Our producer is Andy Hurst, and I'm Ruby DeLuna. Seattle Now and KUOW are members of the NPR network. See you tomorrow.
Seattle in the 90s. A tidal wave of iconic music roars out of this sleepy city and launches a pop culture revolution. Here's a story you haven't heard. Let the Kids Dance is a new podcast about the rise and fall of Seattle's teen dance ordinance, the law that made it illegal for young people to go to concerts. A story of moral panic, grassroots activism, and an unstoppable music community that fought for its freedom. Listen to Let the Kids Dance from KUOW and the NPR Network.